This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. See you later, alligator, a slang expression usually associated with the 50s, actually goes back to the 1930s. Our language commentator, Jeff Nunberg, discovered that some slang expressions of today go back even further.
One of the most imposing books on my reference shelf is Volume 1 of Jonathan Leiter's Random House Historical Dictionary of American Slang. It appeared in 1994, taking 1,000 two-column pages just to cover the territory from A to G. It's a heroic work, all the more so because it rests on an impossible contradiction. It's true that all words depend on context for their meaning, but none so much as slang. And it's hard to know what to make of slang words when they're plucked from speech and laid out on the page in the haphazard order that the alphabet imposes. Gaga, galoot, gangster, gas jockey, geek. You think of a rack of old clothes in a thrift shop where a pair of bell-bottoms hangs between a raccoon coat and a Nehru jacket. You can find some of the context that's missing from Leiter's dictionary in an engaging recent book by Tom Dalzell called Flappers to Rappers. Dalzell has organized his book into a series of little essays on the language of each of the youth subcultures from the flappers to the hippies to the hip-hoppers. Take the jive generation of the late 30s and 40s. That was the golden age of greetings. Hello, Joe, what do you know? Hi, Sprout, what's growing? Hey, Sugar, are you rationed? And then there were all those rhyming salutations. What's buzzin', cousin? What's steamin', demon? What's knittin', kitten? It was also a lexicon rich in names for parts of the body. Your head was your biscuit, your fingers were fish hooks, feet were plates, your mouth was your bone box. And then there was the vast sartorial vocabulary of the zoot suiters. Hey, Jasper, put your barkers on your plates, pull up your pegs, tie your choker, and slap a sky piece on your biscuit. As you read through the book, your first sense is of how dated and quaint it all is. It's like leafing through a set of old college yearbooks. Did anybody ever really talk like that? Of course, it's in the nature of youth slang to be ephemeral. As in any other matter of style, you have to be ready to abandon it as soon as your parents catch on. That's how we knew sideburns were finished, was because we saw them on George McGovern. And by the 40s, the turnover in slang was even more rapid than before, with Madison Avenue and columnists like Walter Winchell publicizing each new expression as soon as it appeared. Dalzell dates the end of jive talk from 1946, when Hallmark came out with a new line of jive greeting cards called Solid Senders, which featured messages like, "What's tickin', chicken?" And yet, the idiom didn't disappear without leaving posterity with a few words that had surprising staying power, like groovy, chick, and hang-up. In the end, that's the most intriguing feature of flappers to rappers, all these words that keep being reused from one generation to the next. Dalzell gives a nice example in a little essay on the superlative bodacious. It began its life 150 years ago as one of the mock Latin coinings of the frontiersman. In fact, one of the earliest citations is from Davy Crockett, who popularized the word in the 1840s. In the 1930s, it reappeared in Harlem Jive Talk, and then in the Barney Google comic strip. Lenny Bruce used it, and Marty Ballin of the Jefferson Airplane launched a short-lived band called Bodacious in 1973. From there, it moved into CB lingo, then into military slang and dude speak, as popularized in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. There are a surprising number of slang words like this. Dude itself has been used since the 1870s, as a synonym for guy or fellow. The use of fly to mean stylish goes back at least to the 1880s. And the hip-hop superlative fat is no less venerable. It was used as early as 1885, complete with that P-H-A-T spelling. In fact, maybe the most unusual item of hip-hop slang is the superlative fresh, which turns out to be a genuinely original addition to the idiom. What's interesting about all this isn't that the slang words have moved around so much, words always do that, but that they seem to keep covering their tracks as they go. Every generation rediscovers them as if for the first time and takes them as badges of its own unprecedented novelty. But that's how it is with generations. The costumes are always new, but they're cut from a familiar cloth.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.
Yeah, baby, you want some sounds? I like them sounds. Well, I'm hip, I'm no square. I'm alert, I'm awake, I'm aware. I am always on the scene, making the rounds, digging the sounds. I read Playboy magazine, I'm so hip. Well, I'm big, I'm in step. When it was hip to be hep, I was hep. I don't blow, but I'm a fan. Oh, look at me swing, ring-a-ding-ding, yeah. I even call my girlfriend, man, I'm so hip. Now every Saturday night, with my suit buttoned tight and my suede zone, I'm getting my kicks, digging those arty French flicks with my shades on. Woo, cause I'm too much, I'm a gas. I am anything but middle class. When I hang around the band, I'm popping my thumbs, digging the drums. Well, the squares don't seem to understand why I flip. Then I hit.
That's Bob Dureau. This is Fresh Air.